problem with me being like Jesus is me. Okay? I think the rest of it would work, you know, as long as Jesus is doing the things that need to happen. You know, Jesus wants us to be like Him too. As you know, we're talking about the kingdom. I'm so excited about the kingdom. There's a kingdom to come. Jesus was excited about the kingdom too. He wanted us all to know that there is one. And He wanted us to know in a way that was easily understood. That's why Jesus taught in the parables. He taught the way that He taught to make really deep theological understandings easy for common people. Hey, folks, ain't no one more common than me, all right? Y'all are more common than I am, because I am unique. Kind of like how you catch a rabbit. You sneak up on him. Boo, that's my one and only joke. Aren't you happy? I'll tell it like 58 times this week. And so anyhow, and Jesus, knowing the kingdom as only Jesus could know the kingdom, He explained all the kingdom principles to the people in the simplest of terms. While Jesus desired to explain this deep understanding of the love of God for us, He, like I said, He used the parables. We'll be going over the parables, of the kingdom parables, especially over the next several weeks as we get into this. And so, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, my mind, really, folks, pray for me, because inside of my head, in between my ears right now, is like a Super Bowl. Someone took a Super Bowl and threw it really, and thank you. That's what's going on in my head. There's just this, these thoughts are shooting back and forth across my brain, like in uncontrollable directions, right? And I need a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit so that I can stay on point, right? And not all the points. I want to be like a bullet shot, not like a shotgun blast, okay? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we do love You, Lord. And I ask, even before I start, Father, You know the weird things that are going on the inside of my head even now. Father, I need purity of thought, Lord. And I ask that you would grant me that, Lord, that I'd be able to proclaim Your word in a realness, Father, that would touch hearts and lives. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for that. I pray for the folks that are here, Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak to them in a mighty personal way. As You said, he who has an ear, let him hear. So I pray, Father, that through my weaknesses, You would be mightily glorified, Father, and that the Holy Spirit would move heavenly on each and all hearts here to proclaim Your word, Your kingdom, Your righteousness, and Your love to everybody that's here and anybody who might hear over the internet. And Lord, we thank You. We praise You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'll open your Bibles, and I love it when a sermon starts, open your Bibles, all right? And we're going to back up before we get into the parables a little bit into Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus is going to talk about the ones who will really be able to understand the parables and about the kingdom are those who are truly related to Him. You know, there are relationships that are stronger than your blood. There is a brother that sticks, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, as the scripture says. And there's blood, and you've always heard blood is thicker than water, right? All that kind of stuff. Well, I want you to let you know that there is a spiritual kinship that is stronger than blood, than your natural blood. There are those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and are His disciples, and being His disciples, they are knit together with the Most High God in a supernatural bonding that's deeper than your fleshly relatives may be. Amen?
Amen.
And so, and Jesus is talking here. He's gathered some people together. He's in somebody's house here. It doesn't say who. And it says in verse 46 of chapter 12 of Matthew, "While He yet talked to the people, behold, His mom," which is we know her as Mary, "and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him." Just a little fix-it here for anybody who may have been brought up in the Catholic religion. In the Catholic religion, they believe that Mary never had any more children. She had Jesus, and she never had another child, right? Well, that's not what the Bible says, all right? Now, personally, I'm not going to get in a fight with Aquinas and all those super-duper smart people way back then, but the Bible says that he had real brothers and real sisters, right? And we know his brothers' names because they're written in the Bible, right? And we know through Scripture, and I'm not going to get into them, but all, his sisters are never named, far as I know. But from what I could find, he had a brother by the name of James, one named Joseph, one named Simeon, and one named Judas. And he had sisters. All right, so some of his physical brothers and half-brothers and sisters, because his daddy was God, all right? So anyhow, the same ones that came through Mary, they were out at this teaching that Jesus was having, and they desired to speak to him. Verse 48 says, "But he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother, my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus here, he's talking about real kinship, all right? And those who will do the will of the Father, those are the ones who are really tight with him. Those are the ones who have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them, and he has given them a desire to walk with him and to be a student of the Most High God. That's why when Jesus is sitting in this congregation, and mom's knocking on the door,
"I want to have my son."
Not that Mary said that things that way. Anyhow, see what I'm talking about? It's happening. And so, as Mary and them were outside desiring to talk with Jesus, Jesus says, "Listen, who are the real ones that are relative to me? Who are the really kin that I have? And it's not necessarily my mom and my brothers and my sisters from the flesh, but those who are willing to do the will of the Father." Jesus talked about the will of the Father a lot through the Scripture and how important it was. And so it makes you think, well, what is the will of the Father, right? If that makes me kin to Jesus, if that makes me part of Him, I want to know what it is to be in Christ Jesus, that I can have that kinship. Well, the first and foremost part is being born again. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 40, and I'm going to flip over there real quick, John 6, 40, and he talks about this is the will of the Father. And anytime it says this is the will of the Father, that ought to be something important to you. I've talked about this scripture before, so she'll be pretty open to you. And Jesus said, and this is the will of him that sent me, the will of the Father that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. All right, so what is the main will of the Father according to what Jesus said here? Eternal life. We have everlasting life. And Jesus said, and I will raise that person, those people up, I will raise them up at the last day, right? And that's what Jesus said. These are some of the things that are the will of the Father. If you flip over while you're in John just a little bit further, to John 15. And John 15 lays out some interesting things here. And y'all probably know this scripture pretty well, so I'm just going to kind of buzz through it and talk about just a couple things. Jesus said, I am the true vine of my Father. He is the husbandman or the vine dresser. He's the one who keeps track of it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And he says, abide in me, and I in you. Because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. All right, so we're getting this idea that God has a deep desire that the people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior should abide in Him, should humble themselves before the Father, that the Father can do some cutting away of the dead things, that you might produce more fruit, right? So the Father's will is that we stay in Jesus, right?
The Father's will is that we get born again first, that we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And as we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, we don't back away and move back from that. We stay connected to the vine, abiding in that. And as we abide in that, another will of the Father that is in us, and Jesus says, you are my kinfolk, right? If you do the will of my Father, you're my kin. He says, allow the Father to cut off the dead stuff that isn't producing fruit in your life. So in that, we're going to be getting into the parable here in just a moment, but I need to finish this real quick because I was going to stop, but as I was speaking it, the Holy Spirit just moved on my spirit and said, you're halfway through a statement. Finish it. Okay, I said, all right, praise God. And he says, verse 4, I'm going to go back over that again. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, catch this out. So to abide in something, you had to be in it to begin with, right? Because you can't abide in something if you were never connected in the first place, right? You just can't do it. So you had to be connected. And if you abide not in him, you're cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Who are the kinfolk of Jesus? His disciples. All right? So Jesus, we'll tie these two together real quick, just real fast. Jesus says, what I really need you to do is I need you to abide in me. It's the Father's will that you stay connected to the vine. But if for some reason you get unconnected from the vine, you don't want to hang out with Christians, you don't want to be part of the vine no more, that's your choice. You can. But if you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be by yourself and you're going to wither. Right? He says you're going to wither. You're going to get weaker and weaker instead of stronger and stronger. And then what's going to happen? He's going to gather you up and he's going to cast you into the fire. Those are the folks who were abiding and decided not to. All right? That kind of pokes a bubble in that whole pray after me and you'll be saved forever and ever kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying that, I don't want to mess up people's theology here. I believe if you're really converted, you'll stay converted, all right? But I believe there's a lot of people who have fake conversions, okay? There's a lot of people who confess Jesus Christ that never really knew him. In fact, Jesus talks about those in Matthew 7:21. A lot will say to me on that day, on the day of the resurrection, Lord, Lord! I don't know if they'll say it like that. They mentioned, Lord, Lord. Anyhow, they'll say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done some really cool things? We preached, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we did wonderful works in your name. And Jesus says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They thought they were saved. They thought they were abiding, but they actually were living in a life of disobedience, a life of iniquity. But on the outside, they looked like they were part of the vine. But they were producing no fruit. There was nothing really coming out of them. They were saying that they preached. They were saying that they cast out demons. And Jesus didn't say they didn't. Right? But one thing is for sure is that they were living, abiding in iniquity and not abiding in righteousness. And when you abide in iniquity, Jesus casts you off. He casts you out. He throws you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here it says the very same thing. When you decide not to abide in Christ Jesus, when you decide to walk away from the holiness of God and start playing the hypocrite game, right? Jesus says, listen, you're going to wither up, you're going to die. You're going to wither up and there will come a day of judgment and you will be cast out into the fire. And I know that messes a lot of people up because they say, I said the prayer when I was 5 years old. But after that, I never read my Bible. You know, after that, I never really did anything. But I said the prayer because the pastor said, follow me, say the prayer. And you said the prayer, you slid into home. There's no more. more hell for you. You're saved forever and ever and ever. Do what you want to, because God's all love. Now, don't get me wrong. God is all love, but He's also all just. And Jesus, coming back to Matthew chapter 13 now, and Jesus said to these people, these Hebrew people, He says, listen, folks, I've got to tell you this deep, deep theological teaching about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to make it where you can understand it, because y'all must be farmers out there. So I'm going to talk about different soils and the same seed that's planted or catches root in each type of soil. And so as Jesus goes on talking, he leaves that house that they were at when Mary and his brothers came. And verse chapter 13 says, verse 1, and the same day, so that means it was what? Exactly. The same day. All right, if it was Wednesday, it was Wednesday afternoon. They left the house. The same day Jesus went out of the house. That's how I know He was in a house, because He went out of the house. Okay, you couldn't come out of the house unless you were in the house. Okay. And so He left the house and He sat by the seaside. And great multitudes gathered together unto Him so that He went into a ship. And He sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spoke many things unto them in parables. All right, so catch the picture. Jesus sitting down at the house, knock comes on the door, and they say, hey, your mom and dad, your mom and your brothers want to come talk to you. And Jesus says, who is my mom and my brothers except the disciples? You know, those who are the students of mine. And then after He finishes teaching or whatever, He's sitting in the house where He said, okay, let's go for a walk. All right, they get up, they start walking, they go for a little while. And as He's walking, this crowd of people start following. In my mind, the picture that I just got is Forrest Gump, right? When he was jogging, right? How he got all of his disciples to go jogging with him. And then there's this huge line of people jogging behind him. Well, Jesus wasn't jogging, He was just strolling. And as He was going, a crowd of people started getting together. He said, listen, let's go down by the riverside because there's a big beach there. We're going to start talking. And as He got there, there were so many people gathered up. He says, I need a place because I'm getting really crowded here. So He got into a boat and He got out a little bit from the shore side and He started talking to the people. But He only talked to them in parables. And the first parable that He talked to them about was this one. I'm going to run through it real quick. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. This is verse 3 and verse 4. And when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Now, sounds like being trimmed, right? Having your dead stuff covered. Some of them 100-fold, and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who hath an ear, let him hear. And the disciples came to Him and said, why speakest thou to them in parables? And Jesus said, this is important. And He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you, who? The disciples, those students of Jesus, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. All right? But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him it will be given, and he who shall have more, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they sing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And I looked it up real quick. There's 6 different times in the New Testament this particular prophecy is talked about. All right? And so in this prophecy that he's talking about here, by hearing they shall hear and not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Now that waxed gross means fat. Has waxed fat. Has become fat and lazy and just lethargic. You know, their hearts become lethargic. How do you like that? I pulled that out of the back of my head, too. I didn't even know I could say that word. It's lethargic. And their eyes are dull of hearing. I can't hear you because my eyes are in the way. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. All right? But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. All right? And we'll talk about the rest of that in a moment. So I want you to gather these two parables together. All right? The vine and the branches and the sower and the seed. What is the end result for the disciples, for those who believe and trust Jesus Christ? They bear fruit, right? Something happens in them and they become more. It grows. It grows exponentially. 160, 30-fold. It just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more folks who are truly converted, the more it grows and the larger it becomes. All right? But there are problems. Right? There's problems. When you sow the seed, sometimes the seed falls in places that it just doesn't grow good. Right? It falls by the wayside, right? There's several different places that it falls in. Since I skipped that piece of scripture right there, and I've already gone past it, I'll skip it like this. So he starts out talking about the sower. And he says, some fell by on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is going to explain here in just a minute that when the fowls come, that means the evil one comes and immediately plucks it out of their heart. All right? Has anybody ever been witnessing to folks and they just do not hear it? I mean, and it happens really quick. Right? And I know Mike, he's talked to me several times. I've been talking to my sister. I've been talking to my cousin. I've been talking to Floyd over at the barbershop or whatever. I've been talking. Mike says, I've been talking to a lot of people. I know. Isn't that funny? So my wife said, no, George is over here busting a gut. And when I'm looking at him, he reminds me of Floyd from Andy Griffith. You're from North Carolina, man. That's that rubber ball I was complaining about earlier. All right? And it's just like it's super fast right now. Calm down. Because I've already missed one very important scripture that I was going to add into the last scene before I changed the page, I didn't. But anyhow, so the seed was, and some fell on the wayside, and they were devoured. Some fell, and these two here, the falling in the stony places and falling among thorns. Now, this that when the seed was sown and it fell into the stony places, that man, he received that really, really quickly. How many times have you witnessed to somebody and they just, man, I love it, I love it, I love it, I gotta have more. And then you lead them in prayer, you hold their hand, you baptize them, and they disappear. And y'all heard me say that a lot. I've got a lot of people wet, right? And remember what Jesus said about the vine and the branch. Those who refuse to abide, stay, they're gathered up in the last day and they're cast away. These folks that heard the word of God, they heard it and they believed it. All right? They heard the preaching of God's word and they believed it. I mean, they were excited about it. But then the sun comes up, and because they had no depth, they had no understanding, they'd never really counted the cost of salvation. Have you really counted the cost of salvation? Remember what Jesus said, even before you can become my disciple, you've got to love me more than your mom and your dad, your kinfolk, and all that kind of stuff. The only question I have is, do you? You know? Count the cost. Do I love God more than people driving around really, really fast for 500 miles? Right? That's happening today, right? The Daytona 500. Vroom, vroom, everybody does that turn right. All they do is turn right, they can't turn left. Right? Vroom, vroom, vroom. But a lot of people they like that kind of stuff. Or this one. Oh, that's golfing, yeah. Right, I thought it was ping pong. When you're short like me, it can be ping pong. But yeah, so, and you saw that. I swung like that, I have a horrible slice. And so, they love those things more than they love the Lord. All right? pray. But if you ask them, they'll say, oh, I love God. I love God so much that I will not miss a Buffalo Bills game. I may not come to church, but I ain't going to miss a Buffalo Bills game. I love God so much that I know the race doesn't start till 2, but I can't come to church at 12 or 11. You know? I love God so much that instead of going and being amongst the body and learning about the Lord, I'm going to follow my kid to a T-ball game. Nothing wrong with T-ball. All right? But what is the most important part of you? What's dead in your life and you're not allowing God to cut it off? The seed that fell on those stony places and because it had no depth, the sun came up. Right? And it got hot. It got hard. See, a lot of people accept Jesus Christ and never really think about the difficulties that it is to be a Christian. Have you ever thought about what it costs to be suffering for Christ? You know, if you want to be rewarded with Him, Paul says you've got to suffer with Him also. Are you willing to suffer a little bit? Remember we talked about Roberto and how excited the church is there in Guatemala? Well, those folks are, in our thought, they're a third world country. They really don't have a whole lot. But one thing they do have is an excitement to come and be around other Christians. When I went to Africa and I was teaching there, a room, really and truly, guys, it was half this size. And probably from about this wall to that little office wall right there, it was small. It was a small little place. There was over 100 sweaty Africans in there on little plastic chairs with no electricity. There's no fans. It's 100 plus degrees, right? It's so hot that the flies weren't flying. You know, but they were there on the edge of their seat, waiting to hear one word from the Lord. Some of those guys, they said that they walked over 100 miles, walked 100 miles to get there to be on time. They stayed for the week. They were sleeping in the yard, right? And when I say Africa has mosquitoes, dude, they got mosquitoes. And they're sleeping in the yard, and they don't have any nets. They don't have nothing. They're just out in the grass. Because they wanted to hear one word of the preaching of God's word. They had plenty of space in their heart for the growing of the word of God. We often are, we're so shallow. We're so shallow in America. We really are. We're shallow. Our hearts have become gross. Fat. We are fat, sloppy, overfed. And I'm not talking physically, all right? I'm talking about a hunger and desire for the kingdom of God. We really don't have a hunger and desire for the kingdom. Not like we ought to. I don't like I ought to. All right? So I'm not throwing a stone at nobody. Steve said this morning in Bible study, I can't throw a stone at anybody until I smack my face with the bag of rocks I'm carrying, you know, right? Because I have those same problems that everybody else has. We do have three cars. I'm going to say two cars. We've got three cars, got one on loan, right? And so we got all the electricity, you know, heating, cooling, you know, indoor plumbing. We have it made. The poorest person in America is richer than 95% of all the other people in the world. Well, I'm on food stamps. Well, praise God. You got food stamps. You know what the other people are on? They're grubbing it. I mean, really grubbing it. You got to go outside and pick up grubs. Like chickens. You know, and they're eating stuff. Anyhow. Jesus said, some fell on stony places, and they had no depth, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns choked them out. How often have you, again, these seeds that fell among the stony places and among the thorns, they each have a have a common denominator there is they don't have a will and a desire and a hunger and a thirst and an expectation of a kingdom reward enough to get past themselves. All right? Because the weeds that grow in most people's lives that choke them out is the weeds of self-worth. Right? I would love to come and serve. I'd love to come and be a part. But, you know, myself is just worth too much to come do that. I would love to come do that, but it's not in my timing. I'll get right with the Lord when my timing comes. I don't see that too much in the Scripture. In fact, what I see is exactly what was prophesied through Isaiah. By hearing they shall hear and not understand. By seeing they will see and not perceive. This people's heart is become gross or fat. Their ears, they're dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. And then it brings to my mind the prophecy of Amos. And he says, in the last days there will be a famine. But it's not going to be a famine of food or water, but it's going to be a famine of the Word of God. There'll be a great... You have plenty of food, you have plenty of water, you have all the luxuries of life. But you won't even realize that you don't have the most important thing. The Word, the living Word, the true Word of God. It looks to me as now I'm no great mathematician. You know, I got out of school in the sixth grade. I've never been really good at math. 1 and 1 are 11 for me still. And so in thinking about that, from what I see 1, 2, 3, right? So 2/3, no, there's 4. There's 3 out of 4, right? Because there's a stony place. There's the wayside, there's the thorns, all right? There's 3, and then there's one place where the good seed fell. So what is the...
Three quarters.
So 3/4, all right? So 1/4 of the people that hear the Word of God will truly convert, right? Will truly... the folks who hear the Word of God, about 1/4 out of them will really grow and produce something. That means, again, thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think about it. That's why it's a narrow way that leads to righteousness and a broad way that leads to destruction. Because you've got 3 times as many going to hell than you got going to heaven. They need a bigger road. This parable was given that the disciples could know the mystery of the kingdom. Last time I taught this parable, and I don't know exactly if I was wrong about it or not, but I was told I was wrong, and so I kind of shied away from it. All right, the parable goes by, again, the sower went forth to sow, we sowed some, and some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them, some fell in stony places, they didn't have much earth, and they withered, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell on the good ground. So, all right, a good farmer. Steve, before you go to plant seed in a field, don't you go pick up some rocks first?
Mm-hmm.
All right? If there's a field that's full of weeds, you spray Roundup. Mm-hmm. It gives us all cancer. Thank you very much. but, you know, so you do some soil preparation before you plant. So we as Christians, what can we do? There's still probably the mathematical equation that's going to be that way anyhow. But is there something we can do before that seed gets planted in someone's heart? Can we come along beside them and help pull some of the weeds? I didn't say make them pull it out, but we help them pull it out. Or maybe we go along beside them long enough and we find out that there's some rocks that might prevent the seed from growing correctly. Right? So we come along beside them, we help them pick up rocks. Help them pick up rocks. We don't say, "Here's a rock in your life, go pick it up." No, we help them pick up rocks. Or maybe there's the thorny places that are around them in their life, and they're surrounded by this mass of evil and hatred in their life. And they can't even see outside of the weed. Can't we come alongside them and at least give them a little buffer, you know? I think of a small seedling that falls to the ground, right? Sometimes a big tree's got to fall so that small seed can get sunlight, that it can grow. Maybe we can do something like that in other people's lives. I know that Jesus gives the answer, and he tells exactly, as he explains the parable in verse 18, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one that received the seed on the wayside." All right? Anyone who hears the kingdom of God and it catches... Remember the spiritual vital light we talked about last week? There's two kingdoms, a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And I know we cannot fight and win against Satan. We really can't. But there are some things that we can do to help. We can pray. Because how's the light come on? All right? Jesus, right? And I can't do this battle. I can't even beat my own flesh. All right? I can't beat the lust that's in my own heart. I need help. I need Jesus, right? I need Him guiding me. And so maybe there's nothing that we can do to stop the demon from coming and picking the seed out of this man's heart, but we can pray. All right? We can pray for those folks. We can love them in the middle of their mess the way that Jesus loved me in the middle of my mess. Instead of casting stones at them, I can come along beside them. And maybe through prayer we can block one or two of those arrows from getting at them, right? Maybe. Verse 20, and he says, "He that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heard the word, and aeon means immediately with joy he receives it. And yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." All right. So that lets me know that there's some time that comes in. There's those who trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're getting bashed by the world. All right, persecution's arising. My wife doesn't like me anymore. My kids don't like me anymore. My friends, I lost my job. You know, there's these things that happen in real life when you trust Jesus Christ. Now, we can't help everybody, but we might be able to help some. Right? Now, I know Jesus says that these things are going to happen. I know that they are. I've seen it happen. And I've tried to help some, and I don't know, it's like taking a spoon, a regular breakfast spoon that you eat your cereal with. I eat with small ones, my wife eats with bigger ones. And so, but anyhow, those spoons that you eat with and trying to get water out of a shell. You know, you got a hole this big that's coming in, you're spooning it out a little bit at a time. My wife has a better chance because she uses the bigger spoon. In this scenario, I don't know if we can stop the ship from sinking. I really don't. Jesus says that it's going to happen. Right? But maybe, just by the grace of God, if we try, if we desire God, if we desire fruit in our life, if we desire holiness in our life in a real and personal way, we'll come along beside that sinking Christian. This is a Christian here because he accepted the Lord with gladness. But the struggle of the world got in the way. See, there's two sides. See, can you tell I'm fighting in my head right now? Now, there's this huge fight between my left and my right, but I think it's my front and the back of my brain because it seems to be going like this, not like that. And anyhow, this thing is happening. Can we do anything? And the one side of my brain is saying, yeah, you can do something. The other side of my brain said, Jesus says you can't do nothing. I don't have an answer for that. But I do know one thing. If I'm in a sinking ship, or I'm around a sinking ship and I can help, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to take my little spoon out there, and I'm going to shovel as much water off of that person, out of that ship, as I possibly can. The ship might still go down. All right? I might not stop the ship from sinking. But what I can do is love that person until the ship sinks. Right? As long as they have life and I have a spoon, there's chance. Right?
Everybody's going to go to the silverware drawer and walk around with spoons in their pockets.
These things that God gave us, and the thorns that come up and they choke them out, and the third part that he talks about, and he also received the seed among thorns, is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, what does God want us to be? Fruitful, right? But when we lose our focus in the Word of God, what happens? We become unfruitful. So, thank you, Lord, for this. I think I just saw it. I think I got the answer. I may not be able to help anybody else. You know who I can help? They can help me. Right? You know, I can make sure that the seed that falls on me, in me, is going to produce. You know how? Because the deceitfulness of riches in this world, I'm not going to be worried about. Right? I don't need the mammon of this world. I need the kingdom of God. The shallowness of my own heart, my own prejudice, my own not willingness to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, I can do something about that. I can say, all right, this is a rock in my life. I need to get it out. Right? If the water's coming into my boat and I'm sinking, you know what I can do? Put that baby in dry dock, right? And patch the hole. Oh, wait, what's that? I saw it on the commercial last night. It's a paste that you put on the window. What's it?
Flex Seal.
It's the Holy Spirit Flex Seal stuff. And you take a 4-inch putty knife, you put it around a crack that it can hold water and you can float. Right? I don't know if I can help anybody else's boat, but I can help mine. You know what I can do? I can remain in the vine. Right? I can do. You can't, George, you can't make me remain in the vine. If I want to quit, I can quit. Now you can be heartbroken for me and you can tell me you need to get back in the vine all that you want. But unless my heart gets changed, unless my heart gets converted, I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, but I can make sure that my heart is prepared. Through confession, being honest with my sin. Honesty. Man, the most wicked things that grow in a man's heart is because he covers them up. He hides them. Person's heart. Doesn't have to be a man. Y'all women got the same problems we got. Oy. Okay. I don't want our heart to grow fat. Amen. I don't want that. I want us to be like verse 23 there. He that received the soil on the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also beareth fruit, and he bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Still, God's doing that, right? Because if you go back to John 15, you had to stay abided in the vine. You had to allow the Father to cut the dead stuff off of you, and that you could bear more fruit. You had to allow that. That's a free will there. So I need my free will to be in a position that I can start bearing fruit, bringing forth fruit. He that receives it on the good ground. Now the question remains. I cannot control where the seed just hit your ground. You know what I just did for an hour? Stuck my hand in the sack, I took seed, and I did like slinging down there. I was throwing out the Word of God. Throwing out some ideas, you know, with the Word of God. Some things maybe that we can do for others, some things that we can do for ourselves. But where that seed landed in your heart, ain't none of my business. All right? The one thing that is my business is I am commanded to love you the way that Christ loves me. All right? So the seed's out there. What you do with this will result in what God has for you. He's got a whole bunch of fruit for you. Right? He has this stuff. Fruit. You Fruit Loops. He has fruit for you. He has things for you. And it's not producing yet. That doesn't mean it won't produce. Maybe we need to get a little bit closer to the sword, to the Holy Spirit sword, and let some of that dead stuff be cut off. Because if you don't prune properly, right? It still has dead stuff on the end. You've got to cut to where it hurts. Right? You've got to let the Father cut you to where it hurts, that more growth can come up. Well, folks, I've just about finished. All right? I'm on my last page. So I'm going to hold it off. Because it's after 12. And I love you. I love you. Nobody fell asleep. Praise God. That's good. And I don't know if the bouncing ball in my head got some of you guys lost. Right? I don't know. I hope that it didn't. I hope that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Right? The key here is that there is a kingdom. And Jesus wants you to know the mystery of that kingdom. There's a kingdom and He wants you to seek that kingdom with the fullness of your life. And it's God's good, great, wonderful pleasure to give it to you. I don't know. That's all I got to say about that, I guess. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. Lord, we praise you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much. I pray, Father, for the body that's here. Lord, I pray for anybody who may hear. I pray, Father, that you, Lord, have taken this, whatever this is, and have spoke to people's hearts. Father, that you've given us some tools for this next week. Lord, that you will move in us, on us, that you would be glorified in these things. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.